is in the Tanakh, it's page 736. This is Shmuel Bet, chapter 6. This chapter is after David HaMelech destroyed the Palestine of the Pishtim. And then David says a sentence, Vayosef od David et kol bachur b'Yisrael shloshim alef. Simple explanation, David HaMelech added another 30,000. Out of nowhere, it's not really has to do with anything else. Sounds like the war was over, and David won the war, and we're going to learn that he's really going to be busy with the Hechar, with the Ark. Again, I don't know who made those chapters. They say it was made by the Goyim, not by the Jewish people. They divided the Tanakh in the Pesukim, because we have the scrolls, and in the scrolls you don't have chapters, it's like the Torah. But they decided to make it, I don't know, we adapted it. But if it's the beginning of a sentence, it's really, it doesn't mean anything, that sentence. This sentence would have been, it says, accurate if the war would have continued, and they needed to draft more people. In the meantime, the war was finished, and that sentence comes in the new chapter, that David added 30,000 people. Why did he have to add 30,000 people? Or what this has to do with the new chapter? I mean, the war was finished, so the war finished, you don't have to add more soldiers. The opposite, you should release. You send them home. You don't draft 30,000 people more. And who cares about it? I mean, what do you have to know this information? David drafted 30,000 people. What do you have to know? You have to know that you're going to have a bigger army. It is a bigger army, but the question is, why do you have to say it? The simple explanation is that we're going to learn the next pasuk is ויקום וילך דוד וכל העם אשר תמא בערי יהודה לעלות משם את ארון לאלוקים אשר נקרא שם 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 השם צבאות יש בקריאה. So same explanation, it seems David is going to be busy and try to bring back the Echal that is parked someplace, and he's going to try to bring it to Yerushalayim, because David had hoped at the time that he is going to build the Hamikdash. And therefore, of course, the Hamikdash, you need the Echal with the Luchot, and he's going to get it. So therefore, I don't know what the relationship is, that he went and he added 30,000 people more. But those are the ones that can maybe will make it, that he'll be able to bring the Echal more. I don't know exactly. I don't know what this has to do with bringing back the Ark, the Echal, into Yerushalayim. And that's what David says. The David HaMelech, page 736. I'm sorry, we couldn't wait any longer.
That came from the beach, did I tell you? It was good. Fantastic.
Oh, sure.
All the Hasidim were just there.
Oh, sure. So David added 30,000 people, and now the Nabi is telling us that he's going to get the Echal. The description of the Echal. It's not just the way the Echal. The Nabi says, Aron HaElokim, the Ark of God, Hashem Nikra, Hashem Sham, Shem, Hashem Tzvakot Yoshev HaKruvim Alav. I don't know what it means, but what kind of description? Can't find this description in the whole Tanakh. And somebody is going to ask you, what is the Echal, what is the Ark? The Navi tells you, this is the Ark of God, that's God's name. And which name? Hashem Tzvakot Yoshev HaKruvim Alav. It means God Almighty, Yud Kevav Kem with Tzvakot. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu that runs the whole universe upstairs with his army. Yoshev HaKruvim. I don't know what it means, Yoshev HaKruvim exactly. means the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he is being called, that the Shekhinah is on that Echad from the Kruvim. What the Kruvim has to do, what the Kruvim has to do now is the description. The Kruvim is the two angels that the Kadosh Baruch Hu said to make on the Kaporet. It means the Kadosh Baruch Hu is being described, that he is the one that dwells, sits together with those Kruvim, with the two angels that are on the top of the ark. So what does Navi want to teach you? The message is that David HaMelech, after he won the war with the Philistines, is going to get the ark back into Yerushalayim. He's going to get it, it's parked someplace, he's going to bring it. So the Navi describes what is the act. It's not just from the Echal, it's a description. There isn't any description. We all know what Ark is, we all know what Echal is, the Ruchot are inside. And the Rabbi should have said, he's going to get the Echal. The Rabbi doesn't say he's going to get the Echal. The Rabbi describes what is the Echal. I know what's the Echal. I learned the Chumash, I learned Parashat Truma. I learned before also what it means Echal. You don't have to tell me what it means. He says, no, it's God's name is being called Hashem Tzvakot, Yeshem HaKruvim Alav. God sits over there on top of the entrance. I don't know what it means. I really don't know what it means. But you don't need, you need this kind of description. If the information is David is going to get their hearts, then we should say David is going to get their own. We all know our own means that this is the closet, this is the ark that he has inside his bechot. Maybe Shifrei Luchot Machloket beGemara, what was inside that hechal at the time. It was the original second set of the Luchot that Moshe Menu brought from Shemaim, or just the broken pieces of the first set of the Luchot, or maybe both. So look at among all the Chachamim, what was inside the Echal. If this was the original Echal, it was the new Echal, but you don't have to give this kind of description. So the Navi tells us, they went and they put this Ark, the Echal, on a brand new chariot, the carriage, where it's all the Vita Minadav Hashem Magiva, the brothers from the house of Aminadav, the Uzzah, the Achio of Aminadav, the two children of Aminadav, one his name is Uzzah, one his name is Achio, and Magim et HaGalach HaDashah. They take care of the new chariot. They try to lead it. Where it's all the Vita Minadav Hashem Magiva, the Machon HaElokim, the Achio of Aminadav. So they took it, they put it on the chariot, on the carriage, and Achio is going in the front. And it means, the Navi says, Chachamim says, that Uzzah, his brother, is going in the back. The Chabad Israel is the description of what did happen. So the Navi says, Olam Yisrael, Mitzachasim, Yisrael, Hashem, Bechol HaTzeposhim. They're jumping, and the praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chinurot, Rinvalim, and harps, with the beam, trumpet, and here it's a tzelim, all kind of instruments. Vayavohu, Al-Gor Nachon. Arrived to a place called Gor Nachon. Another name the Gemara says, Vayishlach Uzzah el Ahon HaElokim, Vayokas Bo Kishmato HaVakam. So the explanation what happened. Either because the carriage, the chariot was shaking, and Uzzah fell, the Chas V'Shalom, the Echal is going to fall on the floor. So he stretched his hand, in order to make sure the Echal will not fall on the floor. So it is the right thing. I mean, if you see a Sefer Torah, Chas V'Shalom coming off from the Aron HaKodesh, of course it's a big mitzvah to go jump and hold it back. Here you have the Luchot, or part of the Luchot, and yet it's on the carriage, on the chariot, and all of a sudden you see it's falling apart. I mean, it's falling off. So it's falling off, so Uzzah was holding, was next to it, and that's why the brevity was, Chaim said he was walking behind, next to the carriage, to make sure it's not going to fall on the floor. All of a sudden he sees it's going to fall on the floor. He put his hand, this is the explanation. Ve'yichar af Hashem be'Uzzah ve'yakiru shama elokim al ha'shar. Same explanation of the pasuk is, Rav was very upset, at Uzzah, you should not have touched it. Why the Gemara says, Al-Hashar means on the mistake that he did, that is Mishal. He made a mistake. What's the mistake? You should know that the Hechal is really not being carried by people. People are being carried by the Hechal. What it means, the Gemara says, that it was impossible anyway from the weight of the echal of the ark to carry. The Gemara says, I won't say it myself. The Gemara says that really the Kohanim, when they crossed the Jordan, Yahushua showed them Israel that really the Kohanim are not holding the echal with the luchot. Obviously, they were holding tight to the echal, and the echal flew over to the Jordan River from one side to the next side. It's a proof that you don't carry it, he carries you. Says the Gemara, that's the gate. Hashem, that's the same explanation. Hashem is upset at Uzzah. He says, Mr. Uzzah, what did you try to do? He says, you are trying to hold back from this thing to fall on the floor? Don't you understand? That thing is holding you. You're not holding him. But this is not really sufficient, Chas v'Shalom, to kill somebody.
It's an instinct, a reaction.
Right.
You see something close, you don't have time to think.
That's what it is. That's what the Nabi says, he did it al ashar. Ashar means shogeg. Right. Raji says, the Gemara says, shogeg. So, but means it's instinct. He saw the ark is falling on the floor, so he touched it. He wanted to make sure it's not going to fall on the floor. Still, it's not such a big sin and mistake to kill somebody. Why are you killing this guy? For what are you killing him? What did he do? He was trying to hold it back from falling apart. So you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, is telling me, listen, you have to understand, it's not something that you hold on to. He is holding you. You're not holding him. The Gemara said, again, with the Aron, the Echal was so heavy, and it was impossible for people to carry the Echal. Just to tell you, the Echal was carrying the people. So therefore, why you were so worried it's going to fall on the floor? I was worried it was going to fall on the floor. I was worried. I have to tell you, that thing already was kidnapped once by people. And you see, the people put a hand on it and took it away. It says that thing was at the Pishtim's house. And eventually, the Pishtim gave it back to us. But that thing was at the Pishtim territory, underneath the regime of the Pishtim. It says, now I'm going to bring it to Yerushalayim, and I see it shaking. I see it falling apart. I tried to warn it, so it should fall on the floor. She said, kill it. I said, kill him, why? Because really, you should know that thing is not to be held by you. He is holding me. It's not holding me. It's not true. That's why it was an exile till a few years ago. And now, it's back, and I see it falling on the floor. So what do you mean? I should stand up? He says, listen, the Torah is calling, don't hold the Torah. Don't hold the Torah. The Torah is holding you. I just don't think that that's what Hashem is so upset, because somebody was trying to prevent it from falling on the floor. Even though it's true, maybe it's true, that you don't carry it, he carries you, but still if you saw it falling on the floor, you try to stop it. It makes sense. It makes sense, even without instinct. Does it make sense? See, it's falling on the floor, and he says, let go, don't worry about it. He's holding it, he's not holding it. He's diving down, you see the heart falling down. It is very similar to that, yeah. What did you say?
Right.
Well, I said long time ago that you should be a rabbi, not a diamond dealer. This is the Haftarah of Parashat Shmini, by the way. In Parashat Shmini, it says the Kovaya Kaddish. That's one of the reasons we read this Haftarah on Parashat Shmini, because Parashat Shmini and Dabab, you died. And when they died, it was so kind of a mistake, the Gemara says. And they died, and there were big tzaddikim, and the Midrash says, this guy Uzzah is a very big tzaddik, very holy man, and he's dying over here, again, something similar to what happened to Nadav Avihu. It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us a message. And the question is, what's the message? Maybe it's the same message exactly as Parashat Shmini, but again, it's too early. But that's really the reason why we read this Haftarah Parashat Shmini, because over there it says, the Maskil says, the Kovai Kadesh. Over there it says, the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to know something about the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ichal David al Hashem Parat, sentence 8, with your permission, David is very upset at the matter. He's not upset at the Kadosh Baruch Hu the way it sounds from the sentence, says the Gemara. He's upset about the accident. And Asher parat Hashem Peretz Uzza. El kral ha-makom ha-hu Peretz Uzza d'ayom hazeh. David called this place Peretz Uzza. Until today it means David HaMelech was very upset. And he's upset that something happened, and again he's blaming himself. That's what Chachamim say. He's blaming Himself? Why playing himself?
Because.
Huh?
He's the cause, he brought it.
Well, to bring it, maybe it's not his fault. He wants to get it to Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
But again, maybe it's too early to say. Maybe in a few minutes. It doesn't say the way we read it. That's not the story. Of course, the Maskil is right. But it's much deeper than that. Since this guy who died, sentence 9, Vayirad David et Hashem b'yom ahu. David was very scared and afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'yom Eich yavo elai Aron Hashem. How can I bring the Echal to me? It means to Yerushalayim. Ve'lo ava sentence 10, ve'lo ava David ati elav et Aron Hashem elir David. David decided not to bring the Echal to his city, means to Yerushalayim, ve'yateu David bet obed et omageti. Instead, David the Melech changed the route and moved it and left it at the house of a person named Obed Edom Hagiti. Chachamim said, the Gemara said, he was a Jew, he was a Levi. He used to work, he had a vinery at home, that's called Giti. Edom...
Kashur Obadiah?
No, Kashur Obadiah maybe, yeah. Kashur maybe lo vadia, maybe. But he cannot be a Levi, maybe if you kashur lo vadia. Chachamim said that he was a Levi. There is one opinion, he has some connection to vadia, not it, of Chachamim. He says, Bet Obed Edom Hagiti is a Jew, is a Levi, and Edom is from the word Adom, from the word red, that he so-called embarrassed David HaMelech. Embarrassed David HaMelech, it means that the Achal is going to be tucked in his house, something David could not afford to take it to his house. So therefore, so-called, he embarrassed David HaMelech. It's called Obed Edom Hagiti. It's not a Goy, it's a Jew, again, it's a Levi. He works in the winery, and he's going to get the Echal. Ve'yeshev Aron Hashem Bet Obed Edom Hagiti Shlosha Chodeshim. For 3 months the Echal was there, ve'yevarech Hashem Bet Obed Edom et Kol Beto. The Gemara said everybody in his house became pregnant. But with 6 children, like in Egypt.
The men too?
Six children, so these things, they had 8 wives, I think they had 8 daughters and daughters-in-law. And they all became pregnant. And I don't know how they knew, the machloket how they knew. That's before the sonogram. But they knew they had 6. But you got the sentence 12, it's Chachamim, 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 that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed everybody over there. So what must be that it's a blessing, so you're not to be afraid of it. So then David HaMelech walks over there, goes over there, he takes it, he's going to bring it back to Yerushalayim and say, see, it's nothing wrong with it. So he felt maybe he should not bring it. Since he heard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed this guy, he said, nothing is wrong with that, let me go get it. ואיך יצעדו נושא ארון השם של צעדים במדבר שאומרים, every 6 steps he slaughtered a bull, מחלוקת בגמרא, every 6 steps, a prediction between Shmuel and דברי הימים, and דברי הימים said it's 7, we might try to explain how many really did he sacrifice. ואין לך סנדס 40, ואין לך קר, וכל עוד לפני השם יתחגו איפה בת. So he's jumping, he's singing with all his strength. And also he's not wearing his regular clothing, the king's clothing. He's wearing something that it is like, something like what the Kohanim used to wear. Even if it's not a Kohen, of course, it's not a Kohen, but he's wearing it. What's the description? What is this description right now? David, the Chovet Yisrael, Ma'alim, 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 והיה אהרון השם בא עיר דוד, והתקין ומיכל באשר נשקפה בין החלון. מיכל, לדוד רב שאול, this is David's wife, she looks from the window, ותר את המלך דוד, she sees the king, מפזז ומרקר, לפני השם, says he's jumping, he's singing, ותיבז לו בליבה. שזה לא. Disgusting. ויביאו את ארון השם ויתירו אותו במקומו, the brought heart לירושלים, the put it in the place, בתוך האוהל, the made a tent, אשר נתן לו דוד, דוד made a tent, ויעל דוד עולות מפני השם משלמים, he brought sacrifices, ונשלמים in front of the heart, ויחל דוד מעלות על השלמים, ולכת העם בשם השם צפקות. So after he finished all the sacrifices, then he blessed everybody in the name of Hashem Tzvakot. Don't know what it means exactly. The new name, and you know the Navi uses in, to bless somebody. He'll say, B'Shem Hashem, B'Shem Hashem Tzvakot. Not B'Shem Hashem, not B'Shem Hashem Tzvakot. What do you mean Tzvakot? What do you have to name of Hashem? That's another name of Hashem. As Hashem is being described as the head of the army.
Yeah.
Right. Here David is right next to Beit HaMikdash. Not yet.
The same thing we call David.
He doesn't know. Right. It's a question. He doesn't know where is Beit HaMikdash going to be right this minute. He doesn't know yet. He will know later at the end of the book. Right now he doesn't know where is the pinpoint place of Beit HaMikdash. He knows where Beit HaMikdash is going to look. He knows the measurement. He knows the blueprint. But he doesn't know the spot that he's going to build it. He wants to build it, we're going to see next chapter. But where to do it, he doesn't know. This was the whole part of the reason Hashem would not have let him build, because he doesn't know yet where to build it. It's going to be too late maybe. But now he doesn't know where to build it. Hashem did not reveal the secret, where is the place yet. So in the meantime, it's in Yerushalayim, it's near David. He made a tent. He's going to bring the thing inside the tent. He's going to sacrifice next to it. That altar is not a permanent altar. Excuse me, this is just a temporary altar that's called like Bama, maybe Bama Tiachin, Bama Tivu. It's a question what did he do exactly, but this is not what HaMikdash is going to be.
Did he call it
Olmoed? No, it might be all like Olmoed, yeah. He made it like Olmoed even though the Mishkan might already have had in Givon a roof, a regular roof, not just like a tent. Nevertheless, he decided to bring his right hand in the tent again because he had hoped that he'll find very quickly the place where Beit HaMikdash is going to be built and is going to bring it. He didn't want it to be like a permanent thing. So he made the tent, he's going to bring it into the tent, and from the tent he's going to get it into Beit HaMikdash around there, but he doesn't know exactly where the place is. ויחלק לכל העם, לכל המון ישראל, 19 with the permission and decided to give to the whole nation. ומישהו עד אישה אכלת לחם אחת, each one got a piece of bread, ויש פר אחד, one sixth of a bull, והשישה אחת, he gave each one like a little pitcher of wine. The whole nation. About 6 million people from Ramim said, in time of David HaMelech, there were 6 million Jews in Israel. So he said to me, the whole arm, I don't know, he gave 6 million bottles of wine and 1 million? Right, I'm talking about the wine, right. Also the meat, it means 6 million animals. He says, the meish, radisha, men, ladies, he gave. So, I don't know. That's what he said, that's what he decided to do. He gave to each one halat lechem achad, a loaf of bread, one sixth of a bull, and a pitcher of wine. Elach kol ha'am yishlev eto, they all went back to the house.
It's a kiddush.
It's a kiddush, yeah, I mean a kiddush. I didn't keep Google, but it almost
6 million were not in one place.
Well, that's what it says. It says.
Yeah, there were 6 million.
No, but it says all arms.
There were not.
There were all arms.
Around him. The 6 million.
There were not 6 million
in one place. It's the right. Those part that can take 6 million.
No, it says the whole arm, the whole among Israel. Usually, look at sentence 15. Sentence 15. And usually when the Navi says the whole Beit Israel, sentence 15, usually when it says the whole Beit Israel, sounds like the whole nation. It sounds like. The Gemara said this quantity was the same question. The Gemara called Eretz Yisrael Eretz HaTzvi. Eretz HaTzvi. Eretz HaTzvi means, the Gemara says, right, the Gemara said like a skin of a deer, you can stretch it. When Am Yisrael behaved, they were tzadikim, was enough room for Eretz Israel for millions of Jews in Yerushalayim. Because the Gemara says it's called Eretz HaTzvi, the land of a deer, which means this is enough room for everybody. That's what the Mishnah Pekei Avot says. Mo'olam lo amar la'adam l'chaverot tsa lehem akum shalim b'Yerushalayim. But the Mishnah says that no one ever said, I don't have place in Yerushalayim. So what do you mean? What's the secret behind it? I mean, people used to come to Beit HaMikdash at least 3 times a year, talking about millions of people come to Shlomo HaMelech. What do you mean no one ever said I'm squished? What do you mean I'm squished? What do you mean nobody said it's squished? Talking about millions of people that came to Yerushalayim for Shloshah Regalim for the 3 holidays. So the Gemara Chachamim said it's called Eretz HaTzvi, that Eretz Israel has a tremendous power to be stretches itself, that more and more people can dwell, and it's constantly there is room, and that's what the Mishnah Pekei Avot said. Never ever anybody said, I didn't find a good place for me in Yerushalayim, and I was squished. He says, I was very squished. How can you be squished? You are squished. So the person said, I couldn't find myself a spot to lie down and to sleep in Yerushalayim. Well, the mitzvah, the Gemara says, in the Shoshan Galim, whoever brought the sacrifice, you ought to stay in Yerushalayim. Everybody who brings the korban anyway, the halacha is you have to stay the night or the afternoon of korban. But especially Shoshan Galim. So you need to go to sleep. I says, what do you mean? Everybody has a spot to lie down in Yerushalayim? I mean, if you tell me they're all standing, there's no room. But to lie down on the floor? The Gemara said, how can it be? The Mishnah said. Never ever anybody said, I didn't have a spot to lie down in Yerushalayim without being squished. Talking about millions of people lying on the floor. That's what it says, yeah.
Also, it was the same thing with the Beit HaMikdash.
Same exact thing with the Beit HaMikdash, right. But the Beit HaMikdash is one step even better. Omdim tzfutim mishtachavim merevachim Beit HaMikdash. Rashi says in Masechet Yoma, tzfutim means floating, yeah? Not tzfutim means that we are squished and we are able to bow down. So Rashi says tzfuf means from the word tough, from the word that he is floating, like angels. The Beit HaMikdash has tremendous power. Not only that it's going to be spread and stretched, as if people were standing like in the air in Beit HaMikdash. So yeah, David, I don't know what it means exactly, but David decided to give it as the cholam, and the cholam only said it's a description, very wide description. The whole nation unto all, and I should say the whole group of Am Yisrael. He gives them bread and piece of meat. The Gemara says, Ishpar comes 1/6 of a bull. No, they roasted it.
בשישה אחת, in one pitch of mind, בערך כל העם יש לביתו, and everybody went home. ויש 10 to 20 בדיוק במשנה, ויש של דוד לברך את העם, את ביתו. Then he goes to inside his house, he's going to bless his family. ותצא מיכל בת שאול לקראת דוד. She was out. Of course, it's his wife. But Tomer, מה נכבד היום? What a great day. מלך ישראל שנגלה היום לעיני אמות המדף. The king of Israel appeared in front of all the maids. כי גלות נגלות אחד הריקים, like one that is really worthless. As an empty person. What it means is, the Gemara said, she referred to the appearance of David HaMelech, jumping and singing, and this is not nice. It says, you are the king, and you should have dignity, and you should behave yourself. You should be more serious about it, and you jump, and you dance, like you're nobody, like you're nothing. And says, what a great day, she's teasing him, that everybody saw the king of Israel behaving like somebody from the street, like the lowest of the lowest, because we call in America the white trash. But says, you're nothing, shame on you. That's what she's telling him. I don't mind, why didn't Melissa tell us this? I mean, who cares what this is? I mean, it's a private conversation between a man and his wife. Well, yes, so what did he want to tell us? He made a video of Michal, if they are shame. Yeah, but why do we have to know, I said, a private conversation between a man and his wife? Why the Rabbi is suitable for HaKadosh has to write these sentences? What do you have to know it? Anyway, you have to know before what happened. He's bringing the Echai, bringing the Luchot back. He's bringing it to Beit HaMikdash, understand? It's the way the description how he brings it. I don't know, we have to learn. Maybe the Mashiach will come, and the things will come. The book is called Nifraot Mashiach. Milchamot HaMashiach, it says before Mashiach will come, they will be able to get back from the Goyim everything what they have. And then we have to know how to bring it back to Yerushalayim. So we'll read it in Navi, and we'll see what we have to do. We have to bring a shofar, we have to blow a shofar, we have to dance, we have to sacrifice. But this is a private conversation between a man and his wife. That she is insulting him, if you may say, she's embarrassed and she's insulting him, she's telling him the truth maybe, but it's shame on you, what kind of behavior the king of Israel behaves. He's answering her back, he says, I am in front of Hashem, the one who chose me and preferred me over your father. I was the one that was appointed to be the king of Israel instead of your father. I'm going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to jump in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Kalot Yod Mizot, I don't care to embarrass myself more, Ve'iti Shafal Be'inai, I'm a nothing. I feel like I'm a nothing. V'ima Ma'ot Asher Amar, Imam Mikaveda, he says, those are the ones that are going to give me a specific explanation what it means. He says, the ones that you say that I was embarrassed in front of those maids, I'm very happy to be with them, they can admire me, or maybe I like to be like them. It's a few explanations what it means.
Maybe she's jealous. That's what she said.
No. She's right in a way, we'll get to it in a minute. She's right in a way. In a way she's right. That David HaMelech embarrassed himself. The Gemara says that what she gives him more, doesn't say I'm here, she tells him that my father and our family, we're always wearing clothing that cover our body completely. You, when you were jumping, people saw you had no socks, and people saw your arms, and your shirt, your sleeves went up, and people saw half of your body. It says, it's a big embarrassment. A king does not behave. My father, she said, no one even saw his heels. I don't know if Shaul had shoes all the time on his feet, but that's what she told David HaMelech. And my father behaved in a very humble way that nobody was able to see any part of his body. You were jumping and singing, everybody saw part of your hands, part of your arms, part of your feet. This is embarrassing. That's what the Gemara said. In a way, she's right. I mean, of course, David is right and she is right. David said, I don't care about anything. I mean, I want to be like a nothing. I feel like a nothing. And I feel like I'm a maid. I feel like I'm a nothing. So I'm driving in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't behave like a king. She claims, no, you have to be like a king. Sounds like both of them are right. She's right and he is right. She's right that Shaul HaMelech behaved this way and this is the dignity of a king. You know, I mean, I don't know if you have it today, but a king was always, the Gemara said, the king has a special halakha. The Gemara said you can't take your haircut. The Gemara said the king cannot go to the barber shop and have a haircut. The Gemara said that the king cannot go to the beach with other people. He cannot go to the mikveh with other people. I mean, he has to have dignity for the king. Even if he feels he's nothing, the certain halachot, the Gemara said that the king has to have over a regular person. Gemara learns from Pasuk, Som tassim alecha melech, kitei mato alecha. You have to know the king is a special person, he's not a regular person. And he cannot do what he wants. He has to have people around him, and this description how a king has to behave. And he, David HaMelech, claims, no, I want it, it's in front of Hashem. In front of Hashem, I'm nothing, I don't care what to do. And she said, no, even in front of Hashem, it's not right. I mean, you acted this way, and you look like a little crazy, like a little nothing. And they saw your feet, they saw your arm, you shouldn't do it. You can't. A king cannot be a
Holocaust. Yeah, but his answer is all right, but... The only thing that...
Right, that is right, but...
He's looking for trouble when he tells him, I'm better than your father. You
know, that's exactly a very bad system, right?
He's looking for an argument here.
But you don't talk to your wife.
Right,
you cannot say this, but...
It's the way, you know...
Right, you don't answer like this, right? Especially with his father-in-law, right? You should not have said it. It's true, you should not have said such a thing. We'll get to it in a minute. It's not really relevant right now. If your father was a king and I'm the king, it's really irrelevant. She claims that you did not behave in the proper way, and you can answer that that's the way I feel, and she will say, no, that's not the way the king should feel. But it's not to do that I was chosen from you better than your father. Yes, let me know why this story appears in the Navi. Who cares about it? Why do you have to care about this private conversation between David and Michal? Sounds like David was right in the conversation because Navi and to Michal, but Shaul Ayala Yelid Ad Yom Motah. So Machlokes what it means. If she never had a boy, she didn't have any children. Maybe she had a child the day of her when she died, or maybe she did not have any more children since then. Few explanations.
Then she was
taken. Right. Oh, yeah. Still she was punished for that conversation. I don't know what she should not have told. I don't know. She should not have told about her father. I mean, about David HaMelech, that kind of, she should have said, it's not nice, but she called him Rikim. He says, you're Mr. Nothing. She embarrassed him. Again, it was, I don't know if this conversation anybody else heard this conversation?
This is
right. I don't know. I don't know if it was private enough. I don't know. It doesn't say that this is what she was punished because she said it publicly. Right. She came outside to greet him when he comes home, but doesn't mean that a lot of people heard it. Maybe she said it quietly. It doesn't say. It doesn't say in the Gemara that she said it publicly, that's what she was punished. I just want one point. If you see in the beginning of the chapter, the sentence to the ark, the Echal, is being described, Arona Elohim, Midat Adin. This is ark of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is being described as a judge, Elohim. And sentence 3, Ve'akivut Arona Elohim. The Echal is being described again is the ark of the judgment, of the judge. sentence 4 is the same. Again, the Echal being described as the Echal of judgment. Sentence 5. In front of Hashem. But it doesn't say Aaron here. It says in front of Hashem. Sentence 6 with your permission. It is Vayishlach Uzai El Aaron HaElokim. Uzai stretched his hand to hold the Echal, the ark, from falling. Again, the Echal is being described as the Echal of judge. Sentence 7 is also the Echal is being described by Yamucha Mimaron HaElokim. Uzzah died with the Echal, with the Ark of judge, of judgment. Sentence 9. וירד דוד את השם ביום ההוא ויאמר איך יבוא אלי אהרון השם. Now all of a sudden he comes, the Aaron of Hashem, not Aaron האלוקים. Until now the Echal was Aaron האלוקים, now it's being called Echal Aaron Hashem. What happened now? וירד דוד. It says David is afraid of הקדוש ברוך הוא. איך יבוא אלי השם, right. Right. Okay. Maybe. Okay. Sentence huge. Sentence 10. Levad David, Zafir Elav, et Aron. Hashem. Is that okay? Sentence 11. Vayeshev Aron, Hashem. Sentence 12. Aron, Elokim. Man Hashem, Man Elokim, Man Elokim, Man Hashem. Sentence 13. Aron, Osei Aron, Hashem. Sentence 15, Aaron Hashem. Sentence 16, Aaron Hashem. Sentence 17, Aaron Hashem. So which one is it? Is it Aaron Hashem or is it Aaron Elohim? Zahri says like this, Zahri says... Thank you very much. הבאת את זה מהבית אני חושב. הוא יושב עם מזמור התודה, הוא יושב במונים. דוקי השם, הוא אלוקים. ודעו את השם בשמחה, בואו לפניו ולעלה. הגמרא אסוס, is another pasuk in Tehilim. It is Hashem b'ira b'gilu b'irata. Neshku v'ah p'ni enaf. Kibar ab, kimat apu asher kol chosebo. So, one place it says in the Tehilim that be happy. One place it says g'ilu b'irata. You have to be very afraid of HaKadosh Baruch. That doesn't mean really it's called Hashem or Elohim. You have to understand Hashem. Hashem wa Elohim. You have to understand that Hashem is not just all the time, we may say, he looks at you with mercy eyes. Sometimes you have to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a judge. And you have to know how you behave. The Gemara said that's really the whole story of this chapter. It doesn't start like this. So the Gemara, HaKadosh David HaMelech, says in Tehillim, Zmirot hayu li chukecha. David HaMelech calls the Torah like Zmirot. It says singing. It says, I like it very much. Modeli Chokecha, the Gemara, Matech Tavodah Torah, it's not an explanation daily, but the Gemara says that David HaMelech calls Divrei Torah Zmirot. So of course, you know, Torah is very sweet, the lectures are very nice, but still you have to have some kind of respect to the Torah. The Gemara said that what they used to do, they used to stand up and study Torah. Until the time of Rabban Gamliel, after the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, everybody was standing. You couldn't sit down when you learned. You had to stand up. Because by sitting down, it shows less respect. You have to stand up. This is why in certain places in Silah, we have to stand up. It says, Dusha, Kaddish, Kinizimra maybe, He says, the more you stand up, you show more respect. And this, the Gemara says, that you have to learn. The Gemara says, Bema'ovira, when you study, of course, when you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to show respect. David HaMelech, says the Gemara, called Divrei Torah Zmirot. Sukkot Tehillim in chapter 119, Zmirot Ayu Lichukecha. He says, the Torah is like singing, I like it, I love it. He says, the Gemara, yeah, you love it so much? That's the way you look at it? I will show you something. He says, since you have no, when we say, enough respect for the Torah, you will forget something very simple that everybody else knows. Everybody else knows, says the Gemara, that you cannot carry the Echal on a carriage, you have to carry it on your shoulder. Akatef is how he says in the Torah, says the Gemara, that everybody, the Gemara describes it as a little child knows it. That every child that goes to school learns it in the Torah. Akatef is how it says in the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, when you want to move the Echal from one spot to the next spot, the Leviim have to carry it on the shoulders. You may not put it on the Echal, it says Nechat. It says in the Torah, in Sefer Bamidbar, it says that the Moshavim did not give them carriages, chariots. It says in the Torah, open. It says you have to carry on the shoulder. It says David HaMelech, very nice, he wants to bring the Torah back. He goes and he brings a very nice chariot, a very brand new carriage. He put the Echal on it. It says, excuse me, don't you know, says the Gemara, a simple pasuk in the Torah says you have to carry it on your shoulder. Why do you put it on a carriage? Why do you put it on a chariot? That thing is going to cause, it's going to shake, and it's going to try, it's almost going to fall on the floor, and this is always going to come over there, it's going to try to hold it back. Of course not his fault, everything is David's fault, says the Gemara. You, because you put it on the carriage, this guy was afraid he's going to fall. Of course he was afraid he's going to fall. Who let you put it on the carriage? Somebody should have carried it on the shoulder.
So why didn't David die?
There's a Gemara, this is why really David says, David is very upset. This is why he's very upset. Very upset because he made a mistake. That's why he's blaming himself. He feels that something is not good. He goes one step even before. That's how the story goes. That's really how the story goes. That's the first sentence that it says over here, Vayosef David Shloshim Elef Bachor, and David added 30,000. Midrash says, Gemara Yerushalmi says, what it means really is like this. Since David HaMelech won the war against the Plishtim, he appointed 60,000 judges. Then he added 30,000 more, altogether 90,000 judges, in order for them to judge everybody. That's called judgment, midat hadin, judges. He appointed those judges, and he decided to go bring the Echal back into Yerushalayim. He put it on the carriage, and all of a sudden he sees with the Kohanim next to the carriage falling on the floor. They get up, they fall on the floor. They go to ask everybody, what's going on? Don't you see something is wrong there? Achitofel was there. Achitofel, the Gemara said, you know what Achitofel was? Achitofel was the smartest ever. Says the Gemara Yerushalmi that the person needs to come to Achitofel and advise, business advice, anything. So Achitofel used to tell him, that's the way you do it. If you don't believe me, you go now to the Kohen and ask the Kohen to ask this question for you. I don't know if they're coming aloud, the Gemara says the Kohen is not to ask every question. But that's what the Gemara said. I said Achitofel. It was like Urim and Thummim, the Gemara said. The smartest one. And the Emirat goes over to him and says, excuse me, what's wrong over here? So he said, I'm just the people that you appointed. You appointed 90,000 people. He didn't appoint me. David did not want to include him among the judges. He couldn't take it. He couldn't just take the embarrassment or why David did not give him any position. So he said, why don't you ask them? He said, I asked them. Nobody knows. He said, give him the wrong answer. He said, instead, to tell him that everybody, they should take it off the carriage and put it on the shoulder, says the Gemara, he told him, why don't you start slaughtering in front of the chariot, in front of the carriage? So he started to slaughter, And while I was watering, that thing was shaking and it's falling apart, and Uzzah is running to touch it, to hold it back. I said, that's because Achitovel, that the Gemara did not want to tell David HaMelech the right answer. I did not want to give the right answer, says the Gemara, because David HaMelech did not even say deserved the right answer, because he called Zmirot Yehukecha, he called the Torah Zmirot, he's jumping around, you know, and it's very nice, Divrei Torah, I like it, you know, it's sweet. If you understand, Torah is Vigilu Birada, it says, of course, you have to be happy. Shenebelo Zimra, the Gemara said, you have to think when you learn, you have to taste the sweetness of the Torah, but on the other hand, you have to, the Gemara says, Bimah Virah, you have to learn, and you have to be serious. The Gemara said, you cannot stop in the middle and talk other things that's nothing to do with the Gemara, or that has nothing to do with the Torah, and when you, while you're learning, you should not stop. The Mishnah Pekavot says, he walks on the street, he learns, he sees a nice scenery, it says, he turns his head, it says, what's going on the other side of the highway? It says, while you're learning, you should not do these things. Why? Because you have to have respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here's the Chal. The Chal is the ark with the Torah inside. So the Gemara, this was a punishment for David HaMelech that he described the Torah as Mirot. And this is really what the Navi is going to describe us. The scenery, they're going to bring it, they dance around, they say, dance around, oh, the whole thing is finished. The whole party is over in 1 second. It says, go take it back to Vedagiti. And says, you cannot. He says, I cannot. What's wrong with me? He says, you don't behave the way you should behave. Because you have to have a lack of respect. And that's really what Aryeh says at the end, that Michal has a point. Because she looks at David and says, listen, I don't like the way you behave. And in a way, she's right. Because you should not act, if we say, so low in front of the Echal. You have to have respect. Because that's what really happened the first time that he tried to bring it, and Uzzah died. Uzzah died not because Uzzah died, Uzzah died because you killed Uzzah. Because you called Torah Zmirot, therefore you forgot the halacha, you put it on the carriage, and therefore Uzzah died. Now Uzzah died. So now you're jumping in the front of it, and the people saw your ankle, people saw your arm, and says it's not the right thing to do. It says you have to behave in front of Hashem in a way that should be more respect for the Echal form. The man says, no, you don't understand. Me, I'm in such a position, such a state that even though what I did it, I always felt that I'm doing it in front of Hashem. That's what Navi is being described to Vitamelech, the Chagur Efod Bad. And says, now Navi describes Vitamelech the way he was dressed. He wasn't dressed like a king, he was dressed like a Kohen. He was wearing something Efod, this is like an apron, like a little jacket, something similar to what the Kohanim were wearing, even though he's not a Kohen, but he is acting, he wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why he turns back. He says, you're right in the point that maybe a person should not just feel that he can do anything he wants, but I'm doing it in the front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because I have respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Something he says, like your father didn't have respect, of course he refers to this time. But if you remember, we learned, that's what we learned last week, that Shaul did not listen to Shmuel HaNavid sacrifice when Hashem told him to do something, he didn't want to do it. And David HaMelech, last week, if you remember, when Hashem told me the second attack on the Pishtim, Hashem told him to go from the back, do not attack them until you see the trees will shake, don't attack. And then Israel came to David and said, you have to attack, if you attack, they're coming towards us. And David HaMelech said, better we should die than not to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means he shows Michal that he has fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though, again, that he called the Divrei Torah Zmirot, he's telling you, I have fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not like your father. That's why he claims, and he tells us that he is different than our father. He says he wants to show how much fear he has, because last week he showed it to all of Israel, that even though the Pishtim are attacking, he is not going to attack back. Until the way Hashem told him, he will see the leaves shaking on the tree. He's going to attack. Even though that he's in danger, not in danger. This is something not like your father. And he says, it's only a message for us. But of course, if you have happy moments, but even when you have happy moments with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you still have to have 100% respect. Everyone Chachamim said, that's the difference. In the first time, I think the other Chachamim said, the first time the Nabi tells us, the description says when he brings the har, it is all of Israel coming, the jumping, and the all, it says the description is they're playing with all kinds of branches of trees, harps, they have trumpets, and they all kind of instruments. The second time it says they only have shofar. There's no more instruments. It says the second time they're going to bring it, first David HaMelech, it's already on the shoulders, but it's already, it's a different scenery. First of all, now David is wearing his apron. In the beginning he wasn't wearing this apron. This apron again represent like a Kohen. And then the Nabi also tells us that Am Israel is blowing shofar, not all these kind of instruments. Which pasuk is this? Sentence 15. The David Rechob Israel Ma'alim Et Ahon Hashem Bitrua Bekol Shofar. No trumpets, no harp, no all these kind of instruments. It says because shofar, the Allah Elohim Bitrua Hashem Bekol Shofar. It says the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Rosh Hashanah is both judgment and mercy. It says that's what the thing is. The Navi tells us you should know that you have to behave in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu both. David HaMelech called Divrei Torah Zmirot. It says the Torah is like Zmirot, like singing. Hashem says, no, it's not singing. I'm going to show you. If you call it singing, you won't understand the halacha that you have to carry the har, the ark on your shoulder. It says that halacha that you have to carry the har on your shoulder, it only shows respect. When you call the Torah Zmirot, it means it's no respect. It says the har contains the Torah inside, and you're going to put it on the wagon. It means that was the punishment, you may say, because you call it Zmirot. It says that was the whole tragedy over here. The Gemara says that Uzzah was a very big tzaddik. And this is very similar to another view that the Gemara said of a very big tzaddikim. The Gemara said he's in the Ram Abbas. That Uzzah, Yilam Ocham Imaon Alokim, sentence 7, it says like he died with the ark of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means it was a punishment, it was not his fault. This is like, as Masfir said in the beginning, Kuvay Kadesh, it was like to show us something. What's the message? It's not the message not to touch the Echal. Not to touch the Echal is just a secondary message. The original message was to David HaMelech, you should not consider Torah as singing, we should consider Torah singing plus judgment. It's called Hashem Wa'elukim. Right, you have to remember.
When we gather
we make the mockery on the Mokkari, and then we continue to pray. And that's why in here, what we do, we make our kapot after the thing, then we give the respect to the prayer.
I give my
consent in the Mokkari. Same thing. This is why I have something there. It says that. I want to say, I want to look.